Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Overflow Ministries radio broadcast. Well, I don't know where you're living, but here in Tennessee and North Alabama, we are experiencing a deep freeze. The last few days, we have experienced temperatures right at around zero. And even for us, that's pretty abnormal. So I hope and I pray that wherever you are, that you're in a place where you can stay warm. And I also want to encourage you to be aware of your neighbors and those people around you that may not be as fortunate and as blessed as you are. Keep an eye on those people, because there's been a lot of reports in other countries of people being found frozen to death. So I hope and I pray that we'll all take time to pay attention to the people that live around us. We spent some time last week. We were at an evangelism conference in New Orleans. And while we were there, we had a time to visit with other evangelists and people in ministry, got to hear some wonderful messages on the work of evangelism that's being done in the United Methodist Church and in other denominations. I think sometimes when we hear the word evangelism, we don't realize the vastness that word encompasses. Yes, it does involve preachers and speakers preaching messages of salvation to the lost, but it also involves a day-to-day work of evangelism that is being done throughout the world. One of the things that I, as an evangelist, try to encourage people to do is just to share their life with people. I think sometimes we make evangelism way harder than it actually is. There are some that are called to the office as an evangelist, and those people travel and they do crusades and missionary work, and those are great things, and everyone is not called to do that, but we are all called to be a witness for Christ. That is one of the ways that God uses me to be a voice of encouragement to believers. We all need to share our faith with someone, and I say someone, I emphasize one, because when you look at Jesus' life in the Bible, he pretty much was just close with just a handful of people. And so whoever that may be in your life, I just want to encourage you in 2010 to disciple one person. The word disciple is a great big religious word, but don't let that scare you off. Basically, when you disciple someone, it's sharing your life. Just be willing to share your life with one or two people, to let them get close to you and you get close to them. And that may be somebody in your family, maybe somebody that you don't know yet. But I hope and I pray that you'll be willing to let the Lord lead you and put that person in your life. Because when you do that, the Bible says that we are to love God and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. One of the things that happens when you open your life up to sharing with someone else and getting close to someone, it's a blessing to you and to them. God is a relational God. He wants us to be in fellowship with one another and with him. And it's not one or the other. I don't believe you can have fellowship with the Lord, truly have a deep relationship with him, and not be having a relationship with other people. And so I just want to encourage you in 2010 to allow the Lord to use you to be a blessing to the people that you come in contact with every day, and to ask the Lord who that one person is that you can be in a special relationship with this year in 2010.
From the shadow of the cross, God reached out. To his grace again, where all is forgiven and the blessings of heaven flow like a river from the wounds of God's love. The shadow of the cross that stood on Calvary. precious be our time into eternity, reaching every nation with open arms of salvation. Sin and death are lost in the shadow. Is deep within and conquers the darkness as we're filled with His goodness, receiving our healing from the wounds of God's love. The shadow of the stretches beyond time into eternity, reaching every nation with open arms of salvation. Sin and death are lost in the shadow.
Attracted to good news. The word gospel actually means good news. While we were in New Orleans, the Lord showed me such a perfect example of how people will follow good news. We were coming out of one of the meetings for lunch, and we had got together with a couple of friends of ours from another state, and we were going to go have lunch together. The pastor mentioned a place he wanted to go, and Rick and I said, sure. So we headed off, and you have to walk everywhere in New Orleans. So we're walking, and it's pretty cold down there at the time, too. And we're walking, and before we make it to our destination, there is a guy on a bicycle who is proclaiming to all of us a restaurant that he wants us to go to. And he has his tracts, if you will. He has his menu in his hand that he's passing out to all of us. And he's not trying to tell us that where we're going is bad. What he's trying to do, what he's telling us, is that there's a place that we can go that he knows is good. It has something good for us. It's priced good. The food is good. And so we take a hold of his menu and we look it over, and we decide, you know, this might be a good place to go. But he goes this evangelist, if you will, goes one step further. He not only hands us the menu, when he realizes that he's got a group of interested parties, he gets on his bicycle and he goes ahead of us and he prepares the way, if you will, and he goes ahead of us to show us the way how to actually get to this restaurant, because it really is what I call a hole in the wall. And so we get to the restaurant. There's probably 15 or 20 of us at this point that are following this guy on his bicycle. And we go in, and, you know, he's so excited that we're there. And, man, we're going to have a good meal. And he's just letting us know all the good things that are going to happen to us. I kind of laughed, and I said, you know, you are the best evangelist I believe I've ever seen. Because he wasn't just telling a message. He was showing us how to get there. And that's one of the other works of evangelism that we need to be willing to do. You see, our lives are supposed to be living epistles that everybody can read and look at. It is the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. And I know that there's a heaven and there's a hell. I understand all of that theology. But here's the thing. When people hear good news, they are attracted to that. They are attracted to that because of all the mess and the garbage in their lives. And it's not that Christianity offers them immunity to the world. Christianity offers us an empowerment to be able to sustain the things in the world and not lose our peace and our joy. You see, we understand as Christians, we are passing through. This world really is not our home. We're passing through. But while we're here, God wants us to be about doing good just like Jesus did. He wants us to be about healing the sick and sharing the gospel and delivering people from evil and letting them know that there is a better way than the way that they are living. We don't have to live in darkness. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And when we live in that life and we have his love, then it's just natural for us. If we're truly living that kind of life, it should be natural for us to proclaim that goodness to others. It was really natural for that guy on that bicycle to tell us how good that restaurant was. I don't doubt for an instant that he might have even been a part owner in that, because he was so enthusiastic about it. He believed in it. And our Christian walk and our Christian life should be that way also. We should have such a heart for God and for the lost that we want them to hear and know the good news of Jesus Christ. We went to the restaurant and everything he told us was true. It was great food, best prices of any restaurant that we visited while we were in New Orleans. But more than that, it was one of the best experiences I've had in a long time of being able to see just what a message of goodness, how that will draw people. It wasn't just us that he brought in there. While we were sitting there, others came. He went back out and he drew more, but he never drew but a handful at a time. And see, that's what I'm trying to get you to understand about your life. Don't be so focused on yourself so much. Open your eyes to the good things that God has stored up, planned, prepared, and ready for you, and then share that message of goodness with others. When we do that, when we come to a place where we are passionate about the Lord and his plans and his purposes, then we'll start talking about it. And when we start talking about it, others will hear. And when they hear, they will follow. That's what the good news of Jesus does. It leads people to repentance.
What a wonderful door you are to me. And I'll walk through the door as I learn to trust you more. For you are the door. What a wonderful door you are.
Thankful for all the people that God has brought into my life at different times to share the good news of Jesus Christ with me. I remember the pastor who shared the message of salvation with me when I was 13. I remember the Sunday school teachers that have shared their faith with me over the years. I remember friends who have loved me when I was so unlovable. I remember a man who prayed for me after I had been very belligerent towards him. God has had me on a journey of faith and humility and grace for many, many, many years. And over the years, I have had an opportunity to share the message of good news that God has placed in my life. Some of those people have received it with gladness, and others have mocked and ridiculed my faith. But that doesn't change the fact that God has called me and anointed me to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I get to do that in a church. Sometimes I get to do it at a drive-thru window with an employee who's had a bad day. Sometimes I get to do that with my children. Sometimes I get to do that with my husband. Sometimes I get to do it on Facebook. And sometimes I get to do it through devotionals that I write and send out each week. And sometimes I get to do it through a radio program. But whenever and however that opportunity comes, I want to be ready to share that message. I want to be faithful to what God has done for me, so that I can share that message with others. Don't discount what God has done in your life. The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Your testimony can be such an encouragement to somebody. Your willingness to share that testimony, your willingness to share your love, your willingness to open your heart to someone in need can make such a huge difference, not only in their life, but in the life of the world. You see, Jesus, when he shared his life with that handful of disciples and women, it changed their life, and then they went about doing good. And then the people that they changed their life, they went about doing good. And for thousands of years, that is the way the message of Christianity has been spread. The tides of different things, different ways that we do that, come and go. But the basic principle is always the same. The good news of Jesus Christ is shared from one heart to another. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts so that we can shed that love into other people's hearts. That's evangelism. Whether you do it from a pulpit, sitting in a restaurant, driving in your car, talking on the phone, however you do it, is really not what's important. The point is that you do it. You share God's love with somebody this year. Father, I thank you that you have called us each one to do the work of evangelism in the world. And Lord, I pray that you would make us just like that man on the bicycle in New Orleans. Lord, give us a heart to want to share the good things that you have done for us. Lord, empower us to see people the way you see them. To not look at where they are, but God, give us a vision, Lord, of who you have called them to be, who you have designed them to be. And God, then give us a heart to want to reach out to them in love and draw them into the circle of grace, into the circle of your love. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed so that we could receive forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for your mercy and your compassion. We give you thanks and praise for what you're going to do in our lives and through our lives in this coming new year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Scarlet grace flows from a river of love. Mercy streams from the flood. Life-giving water mingled with his blood. Scarlet grace, crimson river of love. There's a river filled with grace and forgiveness, flowing from compassion's wounded side. Sweet wine of new birth, filling all the earth as God pours from himself, redeeming life. From a river of love, mercy streams from the flood. Life-giving water mingled with his blood. Scarlet grapes, crimson river of love. Catch and hear him calling, come to the water, and drink from the well that never runs dry. For it is his will for you to be ever filled with boundless grace that he bought with his own life. From a river of love, and his mercy streams from the flood. Crimson River.
Well, once again, I just want to remind you that your testimony is important to somebody. Your walk of faith is important. And I also want to remind you that if you're going through a time where you don't feel like your faith is all that great, don't give up. Don't let go of the promises of God in your life. We all go through struggles. We all have times of disappointment. If you need prayer, feel free to email us or contact us. The information is following. Another great way that you can be encouraged is by reading a new book that I just released a few weeks ago called S Words for Life. And you can find the information about that on our website. But just know that God loves you and that you are important to Him and to somebody else.
Thanks for tuning in today. We hope you have been encouraged and uplifted by today's message. Be sure to visit www.cindylucas.com to learn more about Overflow Ministries. That website again is www.cindylucas.com. And while there, you can download a free podcast of this program to share with your friends. You can read Cindy's testimony, order music CDs, send prayer requests, and make contributions to this ministry. If you would like to invite Cindy to come to your church, conference, or other ministry event, please contact her at 931-766-2536. That number again is 931-766-2536. Until next time, may the peace of God overflow in your life.